Have you reached the end of your rope? And some joker says to you, well, all you have to do when you get to the end of your rope is tie a knot and hang on. But you haven't got the strength to tie the knot.
Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about when Jesus comes in. That verse that I just read for you is from Deuteronomy 33:27. When Jesus comes into your life, you suddenly find that you have a refuge. You have a place of security that you never had before. If there's one thing that characterizes the non-believer, it's a lack of security. It's confusion, turmoil, disorganization. He hasn't got it together. Today I want to talk about a wonderful story from the Gospels. It's in the 5th chapter of Mark. And if any of you has a Bible and wants to find it, Mark is the 2nd Gospel, comes right after Matthew in the New Testament, and chapter 5, verses 1 to 20 are the ones that I want to read. Speaking of the disciples, it says, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. This is a frightening picture of a frightening kind of a weirdo. This man was obviously an outcast. Anybody who lives in the cemetery has got to be weird and crazy. If nobody could bind him with chains that he couldn't tear off, obviously he was uncontrollable. And I can imagine that people would certainly steer clear of him. If we are afraid to walk around cemeteries where there's nobody but dead people, imagine if you knew there was a crazy man in there who could even free himself from chains. Nothing had worked in this man's life. He seems to be one of those fringe types that we would rather steer clear of. But verse 6 says, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." Well, this man may have been crazy, but how many perfectly normal, socially acceptable, and admirable people haven't got enough sense to come to Jesus? However weird this man was, he had enough sense to come to Jesus. So often, if we have everything that this world has, we feel no need of Him. It's when we know our need of Him that we come. And so this man comes and kneels at the feet of Jesus. He recognizes in Him supernatural power. How do you think he recognized that? And what did he expect from Jesus? As I was reading this passage, I was struck by the fact that his expectation was torture. And yet he came. You know, there's something to be understood there, I think, about the fear of God. it's a very healthy thing to fear God until we reach the place where we can love Him. And there still ought to be that element of reverent fear and awe. So he was afraid of Jesus, and he says, "What do you want with me?" as though Jesus was going to do something to him. "Son of the Most High God, swear to God that you won't torture me." Imagine running to Jesus and asking him not to torture you. Why didn't he run the other direction? And yet he came. I think it shows the desperation of a man at the end of his rope, an inconsolable man. Perhaps there's an inconsolable person listening to this program today. Have you reached the end of your rope? And some joker says to you, "Well, all you have to do when you get to the end of your rope is tie a knot and hang on." But you haven't got the strength to tie the knot. Are you afraid of Jesus? Well, that's a good sign. That's a good sign in the condition in which this man was. He comes expecting torture, and yet there is in the back of his mind a conviction, I think, that Jesus might work a change in him. And a man in his state of desperation must have felt that any change at all would have to be a good change. He couldn't be any more desperate than he was. For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Who's this them? Demons, evil spirits who possess this man. Until a man has love, it is well that he should have fear. But many people have neither love nor fear. But this man says, in effect, whatever you're going to do, don't make it too painful. And note that he says, "Whatever you're going to do to me." He understood in some measure the power of Jesus. He comes, he kneels, he surrenders, and he worships. All the devils were conscious of Jesus' power. Have you ever heard someone in an offhand and rather scornful way say, "Oh yeah, I know about Jesus. He was a good man. I believe that Jesus existed." The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. The devils, in other words, although they are his enemies, have the good sense to tremble. They know his power. All devils are conscious of Jesus' power. They are terrified of it. And these devils knew that he would send them out of the man, but please, they ask, not out of the country. It would be better to be sent into pigs than into some foreign place. Verse 11 says, "A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, 'Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them.' And listen to this, he gave them permission." In other words, he answered the demons' prayer. He said yes. He gave them permission to go into the pigs, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, what did they find? A man totally transformed. A man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed. Dressed. That means he was naked before. Can you imagine this wild-haired, strong, unbelievably, supernaturally strong, naked man who lived among the tombs, spent his time cutting himself, breaking the irons on his feet, sitting dressed, and in his right mind. And what was their reaction to that? They were afraid. You know, people really are afraid when they see a life totally transformed by Jesus Christ, because they know then that this is a possibility. And if they're afraid, it may be an indication that they themselves are resisting what this Jesus could do to them. He had passed from death to life. This pitiful, lost, helpless man was at rest. Jesus brings normality, quietness, a willingness to listen, and to submit. In John 5:24, we read, "Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." This Gerasene man is that man. He has passed over from death to life. In 1 John 3:14, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death." I think this man must have loved Jesus with all his heart in that transforming moment when he came and knelt and submitted. Quietness, willingness to listen, and to submit. Jesus said, "I am the life." He was essential life, vitality, a new life principle. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." The man feared death and deprivation, and so do we. Sometimes we wonder, what will God do to me? He will do whatever it takes to give us life. Will you come? Will you have the good sense that this man had and kneel and submit to him? I pray that you may.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.